Hi, everybody. This is Kevin. It's Thursday, September 24th. And today on the podcast, we're going to continue our theme on operations that we started a couple of weeks ago with Sean Davies. In that conversation, we focused on Quonset Point and how important that is to achieving our mission. Today, I'm joined with one of Maine's native sons, Jim Gildart, our Vice President of Operations here in Groton. So, Jim, welcome to the podcast. And as I said to Sean, operations is something that's near and dear to my heart, and it's huge for the way our business is going to win going forward. So let's talk about that and focus on what's happening in the Groton shipyard and the several key areas we're working on. And you and I spend a lot of time talking about this on a weekly basis. But to get everybody familiar with you, let's get started by having you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everybody. So I'm Jim Gildart. I started here at Electric Boat in 1986. Probably took me until 1988 to get rid of my Maine accent, but you still hear that a little bit along the way. I started on the waterfront in nuclear test and mostly working Los Angeles class ships and almost exclusively on the ways. And then I transferred up to the Kesselring site in upstate New York for a good chunk of my career and wound up back here in 2007 in Groton operations. I became the vice president of operations about 10 years later, and I've always thought that every position along the way, whenever I got there, I said, oh, you know what, I've got the best job in the shipyard. And I got to tell you, that job, that feeling hasn't changed. I feel that way today. But nonetheless, being part of the greatest submarine builders in the world, it's always been a source of pride, and probably even more so today.
Thanks, Jim. And I tell you what, that pride runs deep with me as well. And I think, you know, when we think about our purpose and providing our sailors with the ships they need to defend this great nation, it's a clear and compelling reason to get out of bed every morning and come to work. And I'm proud to be doing that with you. So we got a lot to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about the projects that are underway here in Groton and what we've got for some upcoming milestones.
Okay. The shipyard is really busy right now, and that's a really good thing for a lot of reasons, and we'll talk about that along the way, I'm sure. But right now, we're right in the middle of the end game of Oregon, getting ready to launch into the final test program there. We just achieved pressure hull complete on Rickover. We're getting close to initial fill on Iowa, and we're making really good progress on earlier ships, Idaho and Utah. Meanwhile, in Gravy Docks 1 and 2, we're working on South Dakota, doing upgrades there, and repair work on Delaware. South Dakota, we expect to float off right after the first of the year, and Delaware is proceeding really well ahead of schedule. So when you take a step back and look at it, I mean, there's seven major construction projects going on right now in the shipyard, and that does not include the important off-site work we have going on as well. So by any measure, doing this amount of work simultaneously and successfully, it's really important that we achieve and do well every single day in the shipyard. It's important to the Navy, to the nation, and the sailors to keep them safe and give them a good ship for now and years in the future.
So As the saying goes, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a submarine under construction here in this shipyard, I think, right now.
Right.
We really are busy. Hey, let's talk a little bit about maintenance and modernization. What do we have coming to us down the pike here?
Sure. So so right now we have a planning contract for the Hartford. And the Hartford will be arriving here next summer, and it'll be a multi-year contract, and this is a big contract. It'll basically be the size and scale for Groton's effort anyway, for a Virginia New construction size. So by the time we redeliver her back to the Navy, we will have gone through the boat from one end of it to the other. So it's not only important for the work sake, but it's also important because it gives us two major programs for the shipyard to handle at the same time. And that's important to transition us from where we are today, which is predominantly a Virginia construction, into two programs, the Hartford in Virginia, and then ultimately where we're going is three programs, Columbia, Overhaul and Repair, and Virginia. So that's the transition we're on, and we're going to be on that transition for the next, really the next 3 years before it's all up and round here on the waterfront.
So I agree with you on the importance of those multiple programs. That's going to be the way of the future for us. And I think from a maintenance and modernization perspective, you know, we provide a critical service to the Navy, being able to repair in-service submarines. And we need to flex that muscle from time to time in order to stay competent at that. And so Hartford is important for that reason as well. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the investment going on in the shipyard. There's a lot of things going on here. A lot of people don't get to see what's happening in the South Yard. We spent a little time with Joe Drake a few weeks ago talking about that. But let's talk about what that means to the operations organization.
Sure. So in the South Yard, like we all know, that's a significant investment. We are basically building a whole new submarine construction facility. And the significance here really is that it really is an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to set up a major facility and upgrade our shipbuilding here from just not what's comfortable for us now in the 260 building, but in the South Yard. And it sets us up to be able to accomplish that three-program cadence. So it's important that for us now to not only focus just on the facility, but our shipbuilding strength, so we have enough skills, enough people, and enough supervision and management to handle that challenge.
I agree with that. Hey, you know, there's a lot of things that we're focused on, but if you were to break down into, you know, shipbuilding fundamentals, what are your focus areas? What are you pushing with your people to make sure that we're paying particular attention to, and why?
Sure. So first things first, we have to focus on being safe. Everybody should come to work and be able to go home the absolute same way. We talked about that a little bit earlier. So that comes first. Secondarily, doing first-time quality work, and then getting that first-time quality work being done on time. And it comes through continuing to focus on getting better every day. And that prepares us for the future. So while we do this, we're, like I mentioned, we're also focusing on getting those skills. And as the skills get better, quality gets better, we're doing it right the first time. I know both here at work and at home, there's nothing more frustrating than having to do the job twice. And it's a real source of pride for me to go see our new shipbuilders pull off and accomplish great things here as they continue to get better in building ships. So when you sit back and look at it, it's safety, quality, getting it done on time, and then, like we mentioned with the South Yard, getting a shipyard in a condition to accomplish these three programs.
Great. I think we both walk around the shipyard quite a bit, and it's great to watch and interact with the folks doing the work, and always great to see the incredible products that we build. Let's talk about how we as a company need to be thinking, though. And from my perspective, what I like to tell anybody I talk to is operations really is where the rubber hits the road here, and we are all customers to the operations team. Tell me a little bit about what you think about with that.
Sure. And I think some of it's born out of where I started here in the company in the mid-80s. In the mid-80s, we were building Los Angeles and Ohio's here full up round. There was close to 25,000 people in the shipyard. There was absolutely no question we were a construction company. And through low-rate production, through multiple designs, that those were important stages, but here we are, and we are we're going right back to being a construction-centered company. So our mindset needs to focus around the shipbuilders and shipbuilding supervision. So the thought process of hey, I'll wait till I'm called. If somebody needs something, I'll do that. really needs to change. And our thinking really needs to be into the mindset of putting ourselves in the shoes of an operations supervisor on what they need, what their teams need, and being proactive to find out what the issues are, get engaged, and that is our primary, that will be our primary focus and our primary job. And I think that kind of attitude, that sort of behavior, will bring us from good to great.
Yeah, it's the difference between, hey, call me if you need help, and leaning in and saying, hey, what can I do to help? And it really is a mind change in the way we interact with the operations team. And they're going to need a lot of help as we grow forward here. So we're going through a stage right now where we've gone through low rate production probably more than a decade ago at this point, and we've been slowly creeping up into two submarines a year, and now we're going to go into a production rate that we haven't seen in a generation of shipbuilders. So it has been since the 1980s we will have been this busy. So we need to build a workforce that's new to shipbuilding. So let's talk a little bit about what we're doing to face this challenge for our success.
Right. Hey, the future at Electric Boat is very, very bright. This is a great time in the history of EB to be building submarines. And this is where, you know, being an Electric Boat, it's not a job. This is a career. These programs are going to go on. But we also know that we can't hire people off the street with the skills needed to build these complex ships. We need to have folks trained. We need to practice those skills and grow over time. It just like myself, and I've been here for many years, and grow and learn over time through both successes and some setbacks. But the challenge that we have in front of us is we need to grow those skills at a faster pace than what we've done in the past. We've been working on this challenge now for 4 years, certainly in earnest. So how's it going? Well, my answer to that is we've got some solid results. We see it in welding. We see it in electrical. I don't want to call out one trade over the other, but we're seeing it across the board that these results are making solid results. But we've got a lot more work to do, and we don't have much time to waste.
Let's talk a little bit about the approach. I mean, we've got some training pipelines. We've got some tools that have been now time-tested and seem to be making some big gains in how quickly people are coming up to speed.
Yeah. So a big part of the last 4 years has been setting up training for the adult learner. Hands-on skills being developed using hands-on methods. The pipelines are pre-employment so that people coming into the shipyard have some understanding of what the shipbuilding skills will entail. But the way I think about it is it really sets them up better prepared to learn. They have an idea, but they don't know the details of shipbuilding yet. So that sets them up to progress into further skills and more advanced skills in shipbuilding. I see this fitting into our core values of valuing others. We value our shipbuilders and want to prepare everybody for success. So that's the get in through the door pipelines. We also have active learning centers, and the active learning centers are set up to take the more fundamental skills and develop them into more advanced skills needed for submarine construction. And frankly, they develop the proficiency to be able to go shipboard and be successful. So I'll just give an example, like our pipe welders. So the pipe welding programs that we've developed, along with some really talented people doing this welding, we're producing world-class pipe welders in half the time that was historically required. There's no substitute for actually using these skills to build and repair ships, and that supplements, that supersedes everything, and we're fortunate to have plenty of work right now and for years to come.
lots of opportunities to practice and really perfect those skill sets in some of our youngest folks. And you and I have personally seen some very, very young people come up to speed and do some of the more complex welding that you can do in our business. So I've often told our first line supervisors, I think they've got the hardest job in shipbuilding. And if you think about that, no matter where you work in the shipyard, if everybody upstream of that operation supervisor, because they're the guys that really touch and the gals that touch that product last, if the guys upstream of that aren't doing their job, then the operation supervisor job gets a lot more difficult. So we're doing a lot to try and help these guys and gals and get them up to speed and make them more proficient as leaders in our organization. So let's talk a little bit about that. We touched on the deck plate leader development program in the past. So let's talk a little bit about what that is and what we're doing to help these guys.
Sure. So so it started with taking a step back, looking at what we need to do to help the frontline leaders be successful coming in either to a new position, being the frontline leader, if they were a tradesman, or coming into Electric Boat from outside the company to take on this challenge. And just like we talked about with active learning, come up to speed at a faster pace and be more effective sooner. So we've got many, both from Quonset and Groton, frontline leaders to pitch in on what were the most important things they need to know. And so for about 2 years, we've been working to develop this program. And the first steps of this universal pipeline, and it's basically what every new supervisor needs to know. So we also, like we talked earlier, what is at the forefront of being a good supervisor is knowing the safety fundamentals. So we included the OSHA 30 program, which is it's a custom program we built for Electric Boat, specifically for submarine construction challenges, and we've folded that into the program. So safety is an integral part of how we do work, and it's an integral part of how we train. And so we started already. We've done a pilot program with a small group of new supervisors, and we've got some really good feedback on that. And I know these are first steps, but they're important ones, and will help us bridge from today to being a multi-program shipyard.
Great, and I'm a big believer in our need to give training to our operations supervisors to make them as fully capable as we can. One of the tools that we're also working with right now is this Operation Worklist program, which was invented here at EB. We call it the OWL program. This is an incredibly important tool for us to use in the operations supervisor areas. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Why are we so committed to this, and what are we trying to achieve with it?
Yeah, this one, Kevin, really hits at the heart, my heart anyway, for the first line leader here. Because when I started here as a frontline leader, there is constant forces every single day in this shipyard, just like most shipyards, and it's the what I call the churn that happens on any given shift. You come to work in the day, you're thinking about work before you get here, you got a plan, this is what I want to go do, and you show up to brief your folks, and only to find out that the plan got turned upside down, really for no fault of yours. That churn is a source of frustration, and it's also inefficient. So the intent of OWL really is to reduce that churn. That's what got us going down this road. So that we had a plan for every single supervisor, and a right-sized plan based on the size of their crew for this week and next week. So it's a new thought, it's a new approach, and I know we've had some steep learning curves, but I really believe we're working our way through them. And what I wanted to just leave with on this topic here is, why is it important? It's important not just for the churn, but it sets us up for what I'm going to call unification of effort. Basically, we're all pulling the same rope and pulling it in the same direction. So we talked earlier about you know, putting ourselves in the mindset of the first line supervisor. And really where OWL is going to bring us is to get all aligned around the supervisor and their crews, what they need to get the job done each and every day. And I truly believe when we as a shipyard get aligned in that methodology, then we'll really, really start to understand what our true potential is here. So, we've got a ways to go yet to get there, but it's in place now, and it is designed for this. It's not just designed just for Virginia. It's designed to work across all three programs, and that is the wave of the future. So,
yeah. Great. I agree. Great program. I think it's got a lot of potential, and I think really we're starting to see some benefits and seeing how that can really benefit us here in Groton as well as at Quonset Point. Well, Jim, that's a lot of ground that we just covered, and I really appreciate you taking the time to update us on everything that's going on here in operations and all the efforts and what it's going to look like as we begin to grow. Get to two Virginias per year, plus Columbia, plus the overhaul work. So we're going to have a very busy future, and it is an exciting time to think about all the work that we've got ahead of us. So that's it for now. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you listening, and we'll talk again soon.